Our scripture reading this morning comes from James 1, 3 through 4. For context, we will read verses 1 through 4. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. May God bless the reading of his word.
Will you bow your heads and pray with me? Father, we come before you in humility and submission. We pray as David did in Psalm 16. You are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. We ask for open eyes to see you in power and majesty. Give us hearts that value you above everything else in your creation, because you are worthy. In your name, amen. One of the most valuable and precious jewels is a diamond. A material that closely resembles a diamond is a cubic zirconia, but it's an imposter. A jeweler tests the authenticity of a diamond through a simple test. A black line is drawn with a permanent marker on a white piece of paper. The jewel is then placed over the line. If the line can be observed through the jewel, the piece is most likely a cubic zirconia. If the line can't be seen, it's most likely a diamond. Genuine faith proves far more precious than any diamond. But it can be extremely difficult to assess the authenticity of our faith without testing it. So what trial, what test might God bring into our lives to test our faith? We don't like to be tested, but the test is worth it because we can see the difference whether we have a cubic zirconia faith or a diamond faith. We must embrace these tests along with the benefits that they bring. James writes to Christians suffering in various ways: persecution, isolation, and even life-threatening situations tested their faith. We may not yet feel as threatened like those early Christians did, but we also have times of doubt regarding our faith. That brings us to the main idea of our text today. God uses trials to test the genuineness of our faith and to grow us in godliness. Again, God uses trials to test the genuineness of our faith to grow us in godliness. As we may use tests to determine the value of a precious jewel, God uses trials to test the genuineness of our faith. Look with me, if you would, to the New Testament epistle of James, chapter 1, starting in verse 3. It says, "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus, became the leader in the church in Jerusalem. James addressed his letter to ethnic Jewish believers who were residing in various lands outside of Palestine. Those believers were faced with various types of trials and no doubt needed some encouragement and direction. James reminded them that in order to overcome the inevitability of trials, they needed to know some things. He first tells them they needed to have a proper attitude and counting their trials as joy. A Christian can also choose joy because our deepest desire as Christians is to know the Lord. There is no faster way to be face down at his feet than when we are helpless in circumstances that are beyond our control. And if you see him, he will be enough. In our natural humanness, we tend to view pain as something that must be avoided at all costs. But God often uses trials as the very means to aid in our growth. Knowing that pain can be beneficial better enables us to face trials with an attitude of joy. Looking beyond our trial to the hope that is set before us helps us to embrace the testing of our faith. In fact, we will see that in verse 3 as we recognize the purpose of the test. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. God educates his people through experience. Surely we can have theoretical head knowledge on a variety of topics, but James speaks of knowledge that not only affects the head, but the heart. It goes beyond theory to practice. It manifests itself in our behavior, not just in our minds. These believers experienced a testing of faith, and that testing produced something: steadfastness. Steadfastness thinks beyond the trials and the suffering to the ultimate benefit that will be obtained through that testing. For instance, many of us would willingly endure surgery to obtain the benefits that that surgery brings. Likewise, tested faith produces tangible benefit. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Trials test faith. That's its purpose. We see this in the book of Deuteronomy, where God tested Israel during the wilderness wandering. In Deuteronomy 8:2, it says, "The Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." We see this repeatedly. In Genesis 22:1, God tested Abraham's faith, telling him to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Trials put our faith to the test with the purpose of discovering the genuineness of our faith. God also brings tests to validate our faith. In his book, The Problem of Pain, C.S. Lewis says, "Pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our consciences, but he shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world." Knowing God is our greatest privilege. A life of ease often leads to indifference towards God. And God loves his people far too much to leave them in their indifference. He gets our attention, and that can often be very painful. True fulfillment can only be found in Christ. God uses tears of pain and cries of helplessness to direct our gaze upward to him instead of inward to ourselves. James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Trials push us to the throne of God in a way that prosperity seldom does. In those times, God proves sufficient. God manifests his power. God manifests his grace. A life of ease provides little satisfaction. Untested faith proves weak and ineffectual. Trials move us from the often superficial realm of profession to the confident reality of possession. The book of Job in the Old Testament describes a man of God who endured unimaginable suffering under the permissive hand of God. Job's story began with Satan approaching God with the belief that he could actually destroy true saving faith. In chapter 1, Satan says, the only reason that Job feared God and served him was because God had blessed him, protected him, and increased all that he had. God then grants permission for Satan to test him. Job lost his children, his possessions, and ultimately, he lost his health. He called on God for answers through these various tests and struggles without ever finding the reason for his suffering. At the end of the book, in humility and repentance, Job cries, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Through all of that, his faith remained. You could say that the testing of his faith produced steadfastness. Satan was unable to destroy true saving faith. Because faith is a gift from God. It will not and cannot fail because God will not and cannot fail. Scripture teaches that God grants repentance. Acts 11:18, 2 Timothy 2:25. And God's grace is the source of our salvation. Ephesians 2:5. The testing of true saving faith will not destroy it. It only reveals its reality. And the more testing we endure and overcome, the more assurance and confirmation we have in our hearts and in our minds. This testing brings with it hope, confidence, and as James says back in verse 2, even joy. The fact that God tests us suggests that not everyone will pass the test. How a person handles trouble reveals whether his faith is living or dead, genuine or imitation, saving or non-saving. Many of us have witnessed or heard of professing Christians whose faith, built on the sands of disobedience, collapsed when the stormy trials came. Those storms revealed a faith that never was. But a faith built on the rock-solid foundation of obedience to God's word will stand when the judgment of God falls. James goes on to exhort his readers in James 1:22. He says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. James is saying that true faith manifests itself in obedience. Not perfect obedience, but a pattern of life that exhibits a battle with sin, a desire to live righteously in submission to God, a life lived in persistent, unrepentant rebellion towards God clearly signals self-deception, as the verse clearly states. Paul encourages us to examine ourselves to see if we truly are in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. These tests we encounter must be viewed as opportunities for self-examination. Instead of seeing ourselves with our face against the wall of affliction and hopelessness regarding our direction and our progression, seize the opportunity to break through that wall and move forward confidently with a faith that God is busy confirming and refining. Seek Him in prayer ask for his guidance. Ask for wisdom. And yes, even thank him for the very trial that reveals the genuineness of your faith. God brings trials not only to test and validate our faith, but also to strengthen our faith. Charles Spurgeon said, "To trust God in the light is nothing, but trust him in the dark, that is faith. God proves himself faithful, sufficient, wise, and loving, more so in the darkness." I'm reminded of the quote by Fyodor Dostoevsky. He says, "The darker the night, the brighter the stars. The deeper the grief, the closer is God." It doesn't take a very strong faith in God when we're living in the light. In other words, when we have a life marked by financial security, good health, great relationships, and children who always obey, right? Strength requires courage, durability, fortitude, tenacity, security, and stability. Did you notice a pattern there? Each of those develops over time. We don't become strong. We don't become durable. We don't become tenacious overnight. It requires hard work, focus, and patience. Think of a massive bodybuilder. I believe we have one particular guy in our church who fits that description very well. That did not happen overnight. It took time. It took effort. Muscular size and strength increases when a person continually challenges the muscles to deal with higher levels of resistance or weight. A person actually tears the fibers of the muscle, which causes the body to react by sending nutrition and blood flow to the area to repair it. Strong faith requires testing and pushing faith to the limit. God then provides the strength and the patience needed to endure the test. This is often accomplished through prayer and submission to truth revealed in the scriptures. A strong faith is a challenged faith. As muscles grow under strain, so too does faith. Take the Old Testament judge Gideon, for example, in Judges 6 through 8. God chose to deliver Israel from the Midianites through Gideon. Gideon then responds, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." In other words, Gideon was the weakest man from the weakest tribe in all of Israel. God tested Gideon's faith further by decreasing Israel's army to a mere 300 men. That was a very significant test, as Judges 7:12 says that the enemy's army was as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number as the sand of the seashore in multitude. This was a massive army. God then gave Israel a great victory. In so many words, God revealed to him in those few chapters, it's not about the size or the strength of the man, but it's about the size and the strength of the great God in whom he served. Through Gideon, God revealed his grace was indeed sufficient. Likewise, the Apostle Paul pleaded with God three times to remove a thorn in the flesh, to which God replied, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. Thomas Watson said, Christianity is not the removal of suffering, contrary to what you may hear, but the addition of grace to endure suffering triumphantly. We may often feel weak. We may often feel overwhelmed and faithless in the face of testing. We may often feel confused and question, why this, Lord? Why that, Lord? Why me, Lord? I know there are those here now who are battling those kind of thoughts, and they feel they have no strength left to fight. Let me encourage you. This may be the very time God will manifest his power in your life. Paul saw his own weakness as the very platform which God would use to display his power. It is through these life trials that God sovereignly transforms our trust and reliance on ourselves to an ultimate faith in his plan and his purpose to conform us to the image of Christ. We see the purpose of the test in the first part of verse 3, leading to the result of the test. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Note what the testing of our faith produces: steadfastness. We don't use that word too often in conversations these days. So what exactly is steadfastness? It means endurance, patience, or constancy. I did a quick search of the scriptures on this word and found that it frequently appears in passages with words like affliction, suffering, character, hardship, calamity, and persecution. It's a character quality that doesn't come naturally. It must be developed. It must be learned. It's the ability to maintain proper perspective, to hold on to our convictions as we navigate the storms of life. A steadfast faith is an active faith. Steadfast faith swims against the current of culture celebrating sin. Steadfast faith obeys God rather than man. Steadfast faith recognizes being a faithful Christian may get you fired, may get you ridiculed, may get you laughed at. And yes, it may even get you imprisoned. Steadfast faith develops in the daily struggles of life. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. It's not wasted. At the very least, it garners eternal reward in heaven. So remain faithful as the storm rages and the arrows fly. And if we find ourselves hated by this world, recall Jesus' words in Matthew 10:22. He said, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. The word endures here means to remain under, to bear, persevere, suffer patiently, and tarry behind. This does not mean that God saves us because we endure, but rather we endure because God has saved us. God tests our faith to develop a persistent trust in him that rarely manifests itself outside of hardship. We will never become spiritually mature unless we develop endurance. And we can only develop endurance as we persevere in faith through painful experiences. Growth will not happen if we shelter ourselves from difficulty and testing. We do not produce steadfastness on the couch, but in the field. God brings trials not only to test and validate our faith, not only to strengthen our faith, but finally, to produce sanctification. As we move on to verse 4, James encourages his readers to seek the sanctifying effect of patient endurance in their suffering. He says, "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." James here does not refer to moral perfection or sinlessness, but spiritual maturity. Trials make Christians pliable like heat makes metal pliable. A purifying effect occurs as the metal becomes stronger, harder, less brittle, and in the case of precious metals, more valuable. In her book, Secure in the Everlasting Arms, Elizabeth Elliot says, "He makes us wait. He keeps us on purpose in the dark. He makes us walk when we want to run, sit when we want to walk. For he has things to do in our souls that we are not interested in." Christians grow through conformity. It matures us, perfect, complete. It's the idea of being aged to perfection. And that process takes time. With each trial, God moves us towards a greater and greater state of maturity and completion. The steadfastness developed through trials that test our faith drives us to deeper communion with and greater trust in Christ. This produces within us a stable, godly, righteous character. It enables us to withstand the waves of affliction that bombard us. So let the heat accomplish its purification process. Let steadfastness have its full effect. Notice the submissive will that's involved here. God, in his sovereign, infinite power, wisdom, and knowledge, calls us to give up control. Why fight him? Couldn't he be using this trial to aid in our growth? As parents, we use all kinds of circumstances to prepare our children for the challenges of life. We give them advice, we give them direction, and what do they say? "Mom, Dad, I know. They know it all." It's amazing how much we know, but what's equally amazing is how much we don't know. I'm reminded of a quote attributed to Mark Twain. He says, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. Who do you think did more of the growing in those 7 years? Probably the teenager. In like fashion, who needs to grow more, God or us? A spiritually mature believer can say, "Lord, I don't understand this trial. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But you know better than I do. So I'm not going to fight you on this." Time and experience prove necessary in the development of steadfastness. Fruit takes time to reach maturity. You don't pluck a peach off the tree until it's ripe. A mature faith withstands intense pressure with tenacity. A mature faith sees the storm coming and refuses to be swept away by the wind and the waves of doubt, frustration, anger, and hopelessness. A mature faith sees the value in trials, pulling us closer to the God we love in prayer. We will not be perfect in this life, as James 3:2 says, that we all stumble in many ways. But the unmistakable direction of our lives will be increasing holiness and decreasing sinfulness. Not an obligation, but a privilege. In the Civil War, soldiers with nerves shattered by the violence of war struggled to discharge their weapons. If you're familiar with the process, a soldier would load the powder, ram it down the barrel, and fire. Again and again, other soldiers, after the battle, retrieved weapons with so much powder filling the barrel to overflow because they had never fired a shot. They continued to load, but never unloaded, if you get my meaning. In essence, they had no effect. How often do we, just like that rifle, load ourselves to overflow without ever unleashing God's call to faith in action? We, like them, have no effect. Steadfastness means we not only fill ourselves, but we fire. We not only sit here in the comfort of this room, ingesting the word of God, but we put our faith into action so we might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We look forward to Christ's likeness. We must also recognize that true perfection before God only comes through Christ. It's only through a right relationship with Him we can stand before a holy God. It is only then when verse 12 becomes a reality. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him. God uses trials to test the genuineness of our faith and to grow us in godliness.